It's Backstage Pass with Steve Ryan. And here's your host, Steve Ryan.
It's Backstage Pass with Steve Ryan, and our next guest is a new unique figure in the music business. He's been a performer for more than 4 decades. He was the band leader for Herman's Hermits, Tommy Rowe, Jay and the Techniques, Bo Diddley, and others, currently with the Box Tops. And he's also the author of High in the Mid-60s, How to Have a Fabulous Life in Music Without Being Famous. Please welcome Rick Livy to Backstage Pass. Rick, how are you today?
Good, Steve. Fine. Yeah. I was just saying it's a hot, almost summer day here in Florida.
Beautiful. Well, you know, it seems like spring had a hard time coming, but I think it's on its way.
Good.
Hey, I actually had talked with Gary Talley, speaking of the box tops.
The four tops.
Yeah. I talked to Gary Talley a couple of episodes ago. And I understand you guys are getting ready to hit the road a little bit. You're doing an oldies cruise and some other things.
Yeah. Next week we go on the Flower Power cruise, which is a huge and very successful cruise. The company is Star Vista, which is Time Life, the people who do all those CDs on TV. And they do a doo-wop 60s, 70s, 80s country, but very well run, and a lot of bands, a lot of artists. So we'll see a lot of friends, you know, other bands that we work with, some that we don't see very often. And then of course the clients, the customers, the cruisers, they become our friends because most of them are repeat, you know, they go every year. They sell out incredibly fast, these cruises.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's exciting. And can we go back? I want to talk about some of the things you're doing now, and we can talk about the box tops, but,
sure.
You go back a ways, and I was reading up on you, and I feel like people should know you better than they do. I mean, you've kind of flown under the radar, and I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but can we go back to, it seems like things started with Herman's Hermits, maybe just a little bit before.
A little before that, actually. Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said it of myself. I've always been the bridesmaid, not the bride. As a kid, of course, first band in Allentown, Pennsylvania, The Limits. And which is interesting because now we have about 250,000 streams of early Limits music. So we've got this cult following. But that was a garage pop band. And we did The Letter. We did Mrs. Brown. We did Dizzy. We did all these songs with artists I ended up playing with. I started touring in earnest in the mid 80s with the group from Allentown, Jay and the Techniques. The guys that had Apple Peaches Pumpkin Pie.
Apple Peaches Pumpkin Pie. Who not ready? That's a game we used to play. Yeah. Hide and seek was its name.
Oh. And I, some people call it bubblegum, whatever they call it. I think any record that is a million seller and a top 10 record is a damn good song, you know. So I started touring with Jay. And I was always a student of the music business. I loved management. I loved publishing, tour managing. So I started taking on those roles with all the artists I worked with. And from Jay and the Techniques, we would do shows and we would back up other artists. The band would. Tommy Rowe, Freddie Cannon, Barbara Lewis, Dennis Yost from the Classics Four, people like that. And so at one time I was booking all these acts as well as performing. And one thing led to another. We were actually in Hong Kong doing a show and Peter Noon was on the show and we knew each other and he started chatting. He said he wanted to get a more authentic sound of the Hermits. I said, well, I love the music. If I could help, you know, just call me. Year later, he calls and we were together. I was with him for about 3 years. And a matter of fact, the drummer I brought with him into the band is still with him 25 years later. after that, Tommy Rowe called, and I worked on and off for over 20 years with Tommy until he retired pretty much. You know, in between there would be, I did a bunch of shows with Bo Diddley. I met Gary actually in the mid 90s and went down to Memphis to meet all the guys from the Box Tops. Always loved the music. And I handled their booking and their management up until Alex Chilton died, which was 2010. And then a few years later in 2015, Bill Cunningham and Gary, the two founding members and myself, we talked because I'm saying, guys, I'm still getting calls to book the Box Tops. And I said, and also there's a couple of phony Box Tops floating around. You want to put those out of business? And which we did. And then we started touring in 2016 and really have done every major venue, every major event that any of the 60s, higher echelon artists have done. So it's a great show, as I'm sure Gary told you. We use a live horn section, no synthesized horns. We go the extra mile, spend the extra money. And it's great. The guys are great. I love it. It's, if this would be the last band I play with till I hang up my guitar, I'd be happy. But it started a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, and I was talking to Gary and I'm wondering if part of the reason it's so appealing to you is, the Box Tops weren't a cookie cutter kind of band. They didn't take the letter and try to make every other song that they did after that sound like the letter 2.0 or something like that. I mean, it's kind of a diverse sound. And how is that more satisfying for you?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at their singles, the letter, Cry Like a Baby, Soul Deep, Neon Rainbow, they're all very different, And in our long shows, after the cruise, as a matter of fact, we head to Texas. We have Dallas and Houston, and it's just us on the bill. So we'll be doing 90 minutes. We'll go into album cuts and then other Memphis music that was a big influence to them. Could be from Stax, something like that. So, and then we made good use of our time during COVID. Number one, we recorded a CD, which I'm sure Gary told you about, but we also have created videos for every individual song in the show. So there's really something to draw the audience in because Bill and Gary, they knew Elvis, they knew Jerry Lee, B.B. King, I'm like the kid in the candy store, but a very, very respectable band, no doubt about it.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer being on stage and playing the music, or do you prefer the business side of that?
When I play, then I can just relax and have fun.
Okay.
But so- I'm good at the business side of it. And I like the fact that we can keep it all in-house.
Yeah.
We've all been screwed and ripped off in this business.
Right.
So, it's kind of like a rite of passage.
Yeah. So the business is the business. And then when we play, it's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you're still you must be having fun, or, you would have retired or found something else to do because you're still going out there.
And after this, I'm leaving. I have a local duo here in St. Augustine, Florida, and we do about 80 shows a year. I'm leaving for one this afternoon as soon as we're done our Zoom. My partner and I, we play locally, and we have a big following because I've had the brand. We're called The Bones. A lot of baby boomers come out and dance and have a good time. And then, as you know, my other passion is making pottery.
You were going to show us some. You're going to show us some of that, weren't you?
I'm going to show you a piece right now.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Do you, is that something you do to relax, or I mean, what are you doing with all that?
Yeah. Well, I started it in high school and I loved it, but I wasn't good. I didn't do it enough. And then over the years I would dabble here and there. And about 10, 12 years ago, a teaching studio opened up here, and I live in St. Augustine, Florida. I said, I'm going to learn this, doggone it. And so now, if I would take you on a tour of my condo, I have a very fortunate, I live right at the beach here. And my second bedroom is a pottery room. I have my potter wheel. So I have pottery gear and guitars in the second bedroom. No guests.
Your pottery is your guest.
Yeah. So a lot of times I'll come home from a gig and I'll just take a hunk of clay and start working on something. Yeah, it's nice.
When, you've worked with so many people who, I mean, not to put anybody on the spot, and I know you're with the Box Tops right now, but is there a time or something that really stands out for you as, you know, this is a real highlight in the Cliff Notes? This always has to be.
Yes. There are several. One was when Tommy Rowe headlined International Beatle Week in Liverpool, which they have every year. And Tommy asked me to go with him. I knew people in Liverpool, so I got a band together. And we got to play the Cavern in Liverpool. So that was a real aha moment. And meeting, you know, seeing Beatle fans from all over the world. And, you know, Tommy, I mean, the Beatles opened for Tommy Rowe back in the early 60s, you know. So, and again, for me, it's more vicarious because I wasn't the original artist. When the Box Tops got inducted into the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, that was a very big moment for them. And it was for me, too. We had some pretty big events with Peter Noon, no doubt. I mean, he's a real icon, actually. But one of the biggest ones was it back in my home area of Pennsylvania, when I was, the governor awarded me with the Lifetime Achievement in Music. And, you know, I had all the Limits guys come up and we played together, and that, you know, because without them, without that beginning, I would not have had my career. That the spark would not have been ignited.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hold those guys near and dear to me. We've lost a couple, but, you know, that's part of what's happening in the business now.
Right.
Yeah. We're getting old.
Yeah. But, you know, so many, I talked to a lot of people from this era that we're discussing, and the stories are just fantastic. And I think that, you know, you forget about all the big hits and the great rock and roll that was coming out. You know, I mean, the 60s really kind of went into, you know, opened up a decade for the 70s. I mean, a lot of things came out of the 70s, but I mean, things just really started to roll, and it's because of, you know, what was happening in the 60s, and it kind of continued into the 70s, and it's important music.
Well, and it's also, I mean, the interesting thing is there is no era more profitable still than that era. I do not think songs coming out since the new millennium, I don't think too many of them are going to be as pop 50 years from now are going to be popular. But you take the 60 songs, they're showing up in movies, they're in commercials, they're in TV shows. And it's like, they're great songs. You know, every week there were great songs coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, really great, you know.
Yeah, if you look at, you know, movie, even big, I mean, look at Guardians of the Galaxy is a good example. I mean, when you watch a Guardian of the Galaxy movie, it's not current music.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, I took one of my grandkids to see the Minions, and the letter was in the Minions. Yeah. The Box Tops song was in the Minions. Now, you know, go figure that, you know, and it was also in a very dark film, Bad Day at El Royale, which was a great movie, you know, and so you don't know where they're going to show up. You know, I know I've talked to Felix Cavalier from the Rascals, they've had a lot of their songs in commercials. I mean, Groovin' is, you know, been in a million things. And, you know, if you're the songwriter like he was, that's pretty substantial income.
Yeah. I talked to him not that long
great
ago.
Guy. He'll be on the cruise, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Well, you've got a lot. Where can people, if people want to track you down and with all your different projects, is there a website they can go to?
I do have a website. It's just ricklevy.com, and it has contact information, talks about the music, talks about the pottery. I'm also an avid yogi. I've been doing hot yoga for 22 years. But I'm very accessible. I'm very transparent. I mean, actually, it's funny because I post my pottery on Facebook, and most of it is purchased by music fans.
Nice.
So it's like, you know, a matter of fact, I have a piece wrapped up in my luggage to take on the cruise. Two people are getting married, and they wanted a piece for their wedding. So it's like, this is like, it becomes very personal, Steve.
You deliver.
Yeah, and I deliver when I can. Yeah, right. It's something, it's hard to put words to, but I've seen it, especially with the box tops, when Vietnam veterans come up, because the letter was one of the big, big songs of Vietnam.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
My baby just wrote me a letter. You know, I'm going home. You know, lonely days are gone. And it's like, I remember not too many years ago, we played in Wisconsin, I think at the state fair, and we had gotten in advance, we were notified that a helicopter group from Vietnam was going to be there. And, you know, after the show, I'm getting emotional now talking about it, but after the show, I mean, these guys and us, we're all crying together. You know, it's like, here's a 2-minute song that can have that much impact.
Yeah.
That's why it's still alive. Now, what happens after our generation is finally all gone? Who knows? But we don't have to worry about that. Thank God, because, you know, we still have an audience. You know, we go out and we just did a sold out show with Peter Noon. We have a couple of sold out shows coming up with Tommy James. So it's, you know, and I would say 75-80% of the acts are still really, really great. Probably better than we were when we were younger. We play better. You know, the technology is better, of course. There are some that are a little iffy, but by and large, you know, the bands sound great. And you know what? If we forget a lyric, the audience fills it in. I swear to God, if we forget, it's like we can start the bump, 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 da 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 da. Give you, we can stop singing.
Yeah.
The whole audience would sing the whole song of the letter. We don't even have to. It's amazing.
Well, and it, because of what we talked about, these songs being used in movies and television and stuff like that, you have younger audiences too that are coming to the shows.
We do. You see this a lot in like the big festivals and fairs, things like that. We're it's funny because we're headlining Senior Day this year, this summer, at Summerfest in Milwaukee, which is like one of the biggest festivals in the country. It's 3 weeks long. But there will be, you know, it's an 8,000 seat venue. There will be grandkids there and 20 somethings and 30 somethings. You know, there's a lot of young kids who are back into vinyl.
Right.
And if they're into vinyl, they're going to be listening to 60s and 70s, even some 80s stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's guaranteed.
Tell me about your book, High in the Mid 60s, How to Have a Fabulous Life in Music Without Being Famous.
Well,
and why you felt you needed to write that.
Yeah. And that book is available. It was published by Crossroad Press in Carolina back in 2018. It's not self-published. I started it as a journal when I was traveling with Peter Noon, because we traveled a lot, and that son of a gun likes to work. And part of it was, I didn't have a lot of childhood recollections. And I wanted to discover, okay, what was it that sparked this interest? You know, and there were certain key people in my life that I started thinking about and really, looking into. And one thing led to another, and through the first garage bands and touring, and how did I learn this, and how did I get, and then, you know, I would discuss it and people would say, you ought to write a book about this, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, like I said, I'm not the bride, I'm the bridesmaid, I'm the guy behind it. You know, I feel very proud that I was able to help keep people working a lot, which was neat. So that's really where it came from. And of course, it talks a lot about, I was a single dad. So there's a lot about fatherhood. There was a lot about balance in life. Because, you know, from that generation, we all lost friends to drugs and stuff like that. And I found, for me, I got involved in meditation and yoga at an early age. And I found that it was a really good balance in life. I can still have a great time. So I think it was just kind of like, it's not telling anybody else how to do it. I would never be so presumptuous, first of all. But it's a good read. It's a good, everybody who's read it said, you know, A, they learned a lot about me personally, because I kind of stripped myself open. If you're going to do a memoir, don't hide stuff, you know. And a lot of them said, you know, they felt closer to me as friends. And that's kind of neat. You know, I thought that's kind of neat. You know, neither of my two ex-wives got mad at me. So I figured that was okay.
It could be found on Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's Amazon, and it's in print. It's in digital, and it's an audiobook too, which is cool. Yeah. I wanted to read it, but they had some real pro DJ read it. So it sounds cool. It sounds better than me, probably.
Yeah. But you kind of have a good radio voice there. Right?
Everybody says that since I was, yes. Yeah. 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 Here we are. Steve Ryan show.
Yeah. Oh, you do that better than I do. Well, listen, Rick, I appreciate you spending some time talking to us today about everything that you've done, and good luck on the tour this summer. Yeah. With the Box Tops. And
for the tour stuff on the Box Tops, just go to boxtops.com, because we have a discography, videos, and of course a whole tour page, and where you can buy tickets for each show and stuff like that.
Perfect. All right. We'll do that. And Rick Levy, thanks for coming into Backstage Pass.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again.
For questions or comments, email Steve at steveryan.songoftheday@gmail.com.